So how long have you had your barber shop?
43 years.
And you've had to give some of your artifacts and documents to the Institute?
Yeah, I didn't have to do it. You know, you just
did it.
Because, yeah,
What did you give them?
Well, integrating school and something in margin. For whatever they wanted. I let them go through whatever I have, and they pick out what they wanted.
Okay. This was after, or was this while the Institute was in the works and they were deciding what kind of things they wanted to put in, you know, when they contacted you?
Yeah, they had somebody come around and ask for, not only me, ask everybody for clippings or whatever they had for that, the history that they wanted to use, and people can carry it up there, and at that time, and the Xerox, and give yourself back.
Mm-hmm.
I got all mine back. So if you're recent, I'll let later have some things during the Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't received it back yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the first night, the first day that my kids integrate school, I made a nice picture right there, that, you know, I carry over there a lesson. You got that picture now. I hate to get rid of that picture, so I got to show them that tomorrow. If she comes to get it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people buy things, and some of them bring it right back, so they'll keep it months.
Mm-hmm.
But my children don't want me to get rid of nothing like that.
How old were your kids when y'all, you know, integrate pretty much?
9 and 11.
Okay. A boy and girl, or?
Both boys.
Both boys.
Mm-hmm.
What type of business or, you know, political or social memberships do you have?
Well, I'm NAACP, SCLC, and we had a 21st Century Movement. We don't meet no more like we used to. And Voters League. Things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you attended a boarding school, and did you go into the military after that, or did you?
After that, yes.
Were you able to go to college?
No.
Mm-hmm.
This boarding school was a training school. You work a day and go to school a day. I learned how to do carpenter work and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to school the next day.
Okay.
Then you faculty to give you a little compensation to do that.
Was it hard for you to start your barbershop back then, or was it, you know, did you have any problems after you had gotten it started?
No, I don't think it was hard, but because I don't call things hard when your mind is made up. You know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You put all you got in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you had a rough time getting going because you just got married then, and your money was slow.
Mm-hmm.
and was small. I never should ever get. I tell barbers that now, as we now don't have a barber, I don't need no longer than I do have.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them the agony and the headaches I had to go through with to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Took you a whole week to make $7, $14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from starting, that's a starting point. But you had faith in yourself and God, and you stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been there 43 years and raised 4 children, bought a home, and they all went to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do something right.
Right.
And I took a course on human relations.
Mm-hmm.
Dale Carnegie made the course, and I believe that's my salvation of my business.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to help people,
mm-hmm.
and work with people.
Now, did you open your barber shop? Okay, I know you because you wanted to, but was it a need for one in your community, or?
Something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
The person that I worked it with, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I always watched him, and I learned from him. I learned from his mistakes. I learned some things that he did good. And that's what made me decide I could go into business. I know I feel I could do as good as he was,
mm-hmm.
or better.
Now, and are you still working at the barbershop in here, or are you just there in and out checking on other
people? I work there every day,
mm-hmm.
from 7 in the morning till 4 in the evening.
Hmm. Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, you know, a question I didn't ask that you, or a specific topic you'd like to bring up or talk about?
No, I always like for a person to ask questions because, you know, you don't, all these things you've been into, it's just like life to you, you know what I mean? I don't know what is that's the sale. So that's why I always give the person who interviewed me a privilege to ask any question they want to ask. I can do better by asking questions. I use voluntary information. So I don't know anything particular I could add, and other than I thank God for carrying me around the world as he did, you know, in the Army, 4 years in the Army, 2 years overseas, went around the country, and I landed on Normandy Beach. I know you read about Normandy Beach. Mm-hmm. 1 month after D-Day, and went from there all over France, Germany, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia, and Lord brought me back to Birmingham, safe and alive and healthy. And it looked like the worst struggle I had here in Birmingham, because the folks that I was fighting looked like it was the problem that I had in Birmingham. I never was on the front line. But closest I've been to the front line is 7 miles in Army. And that seemed like I was right in the midst of it. You 7 miles behind the front line, and you feel like you're in the midst of it. You know how dangerous that, how that sounds. And never forget how we travel from France to Germany. I with the quartermaster supply, the 784th Tank Battalion, and we had to supply gas. Mm-hmm. You go up on one highway and come back on another, and you wouldn't lie, that's a one way. And I never forget how we stood about and left out France at night when a lot of soldiers got killed, didn't want to be relieved because the soldiers in the Army was nervous, in the camp were nervous with the guns, sleep with the guns, and might go off and kill each other. And I always volunteered to stay on the job all night. And freezing, sleet, rain, snow, you wear your clothes 6 weeks without changing. I never forget it. When I changed, my first change I made, I had to go up about this one here to Tuscaloosa to take a bath. When you change your clothes, your leg gets as white as the snow. Because you kept your shoes and your boots on so long, and the wet got dry, got wet, got dry. And you eat in the rain, you sleep in the rain, and your food turned to slop if you didn't eat it fast enough. And your coffee never give out because it always rained, it just get cold. I never forget all of that. You know, sometimes you lay down and think about it, and I said, the Lord has brought me back to Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, I got to fight with white folk by going to school. Had to fight to get on this hill up here. This is, I mean, it's at home. Those kind of things you get next to you. But thank God things have worked out, and we've come a long way. Black folk come through a tough struggle. And Lord bless us, we got a black mayor running the city. And majority council, I told a group here not too long ago, that Dr. King talked about the promised land. I feel like I've seen the promised land, because all these things we have accomplished in Birmingham, a black male in Birmingham, Alabama, and when the police put their dogs on him, he was a white chief. Now we got a black chief. When a man put the water hose on us, he was a white fire chief. Now we got a black fire chief. I said, when I had integrated the school, I had to go before white superintendents. They try to discourage me. Now we've had black superintendents too since then. And a lot of things I look at, I said, now I feel like we're in the promised land. These things were promised for us if we work hard and stay together. And but sometimes you get set back when you see things happen to young folks on the street doing the things they're doing, killing each other. It kind of bothers you. And you're afraid to go out of your house at night if you aren't careful. And I went through all of that. But the Lord has blessed me, and I'm still here, and my health is good. And my children got an education. I told them, live in fear with nobody. Just keep your head clear.
Do you ever go into any high schools?
Yes. This is the only year I haven't been anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've had 2 or 3 people that invited me. But they never give me a date when they come during Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Last year I went to Hudson Mid School out in Collegeville, And I went to Fairview last year, and I went to West End High. I got a nice picture at the shop they gave me, West End High, and short film, talk to the kids. And I went to another school, and I've gone to Alabama Power Company, and they had me one breakfast morning to speak and show film. I've gone up to this place up here on 21st Street downtown in 4th Avenue that they give banquets at quite a bit.
The Harvard Center.
Harvard Center. And I've been up there speaking to about 35 or 40 white, about 20 black. And I've gone to the Birmingham Library. And just, called me. This year, everybody won't go, nobody called me. I don't know what happened.
Have you gone out of Birmingham?
No. I haven't gone out of Birmingham on any occasion. Most of the schools in Birmingham.
Would you, if someone outside of the city called you?
If there's a time that it is set, see, I'm off on Monday. I have no end time where I have a film that I will show, people would like to see it on Eyes of the Prize when I integrated school, what men are like, and all that film.
How do you see Birmingham maybe 5 or 10 years from now? Do you think things will be better, or do you think we'll stay about the same?
Well, if Mayor Aronson will stay in there 4 more years, things will be better. I hope he will do that. 4 more years will be just right for Birmingham. Because what he's got going now, and in 4 years' time, after this fall, see, he's 60 years old now, and he'll be 64 at the end of these 4 years. Then if he do another 4, he'd be 68. And I wish he would stay until he gets 6 to 8 years old, and Birmingham would be in much better shape than coming out of that. So I think Birmingham, all potential is there. It's just left up to the people. We don't get too complacent and too relaxed and think we are the made it. That's going to hurt us. And indeed, we're up to the younger folks, all those that was born since the 40s. Have to take pride, because the majority of those, majority of the folks of my age are gone. The majority of the folks that have born since the 40s are here. They are the one in the power right now. So they have to wake up and open businesses, make jobs for themselves, not look for jobs, make jobs. These are things gotta happen to Birmingham.
Did any of your children kind of like pick up the torch where you left off, or did they become involved when they got older in any of the, same organizations, or just civil rights marches, or not marches, but any civil rights activities like you were involved in?
Not since they've been, gone and grown, because where they live, they don't have it. See, one of my boys in Louisville, I don't hear nothing about no organization they got up there that they're involved in. But I think they're still members of NAACP. And the other boys in Washington, they're not involved. They were involved when they were here. But that's how they learned how to stand up.
Right.
By being involved here from little kids. All of my children went to jail. All of my children, my wife, myself, all of us in jail. So they have been involved, because the cities they're in don't have anything going. And most of the people down south are really involved in a lot of things.